When they did, it broke the owl connection apparently, so it wasn't working. So I went and grabbed my Kindle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really beautiful. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate that. You got another one for us a little later?
Absolutely.
Well, today I want to share with you a little bit from a few of the stories, a few of the discussions we've been having at our OCS Bible classes. Share with you a little bit about some of our students and a little bit about the mission that we have and the mission that we're engaged in, you know, with your support. So a little bit of feedback from the trenches this morning. But before I get started, a couple of things. One, a quick update on the Claus building project. We did get the county approval to move in, and that's a big step for us. And so we had intended to move tomorrow, but I don't have the certificate of occupancy for Mrs. Claus yet. That punch list is a little longer than the county one.
The most important.
So those of you that have generously volunteered to help, we're not going to do that tomorrow. We're going to wait a week and get a few more things crossed off our list. But we're really close. We're really, really close. A few years ago, I was asked to teach a Bible class here at OCS for a semester. And you know, I'm not a Bible teacher, I'm a scientist by training. And so it was a little unusual to get asked to do that. I had a fabulous time, and I started with one of my favorite books in the Bible, the first one, Genesis. And in that semester, the kids kind of laughed about it, the kids that were in there. We had a good time, a lot of discussions, and we made it to chapter 11. And they're like, we spent all semesters in 11 chapters. Well, this year, I'm also starting in Genesis. It's been a quarter, and we're in, I hate to say, chapter 1, verse 6. But the discussions that we've had and the different excursions that we've taken have been really interesting and really valuable, and I want to tell you some about those. So let's pray. Father God, I am humbled to be with these beautiful young people each and every day and walk with them as they grow in their understanding of life, of God, science, mathematics, and everything else that they're learning at school. It's a great privilege, and as I share some of the exciting things that have come out of our discussions, I'm just grateful that your spirit in those discussions and with me today. We thank you in Jesus' name. We often look at Genesis, in particular the first account of creation. There are two accounts of creation, And oftentimes we kind of merge them together into one story. But the first one, which talks about the 7 days of creation, we often kind of look at it as a children's story. You know, on day one, God created light. On day two, he created the sky. And that's about all we get out of the story. But I want to bring you a little bit into the discussion that kids have had. Some of that are my ideas, and some of them are their ideas, and I think they're very rich and powerful. Genesis chapter 1 is so much more than just a children's story, talking about how how the world came to be, how the earth came to be. We fail to recognize that this is an ancient Hebrew poem, and it contains layers and layers of meaning, as poetry often does, for us to begin to unpack if we take the time to pause and to ponder, to read and reflect, and most of all, to ask the difficult questions that the poem raises. This ancient poem is a beautiful children's story, but it's much more than that. So I say it's an ancient Hebrew poem, and I want to share with you some of the poetic elements that are there that the students have uncovered as we go through this. But first of all, did you realize that the Hebrew Bible is 30% poetry? That means one out of every three pages is part of a poem. And when we look at the Bible as poetry, when we look at these, it takes us a whole different direction than if we look at it as story, which is a different literary art form, or history is a different literary form, or any of the other kinds of forms, prophecy, letters, communication from one person to another, laws. There's lots of different literary forms in the Bible, but a third of it is poetry. That's kind of a shocking thing that, you know, as I introduce this idea of poetry, and the kids are doing research on this, and they find that scholars have come up with this number of a third. It's kind of shocking. So what is poetry? We just look up a definition. This definition says, poetry is a literary work with a special intensity given to the expression of feelings by use of distinctive styles and rhythms. Poetry is designed to create an experience in you. It's not about giving you a list of things to do. It's about creating an experience. And for me, that was, it shifted kind of how I perceived Genesis here in this poem. Create an experience. And so, you know, as I'm going through this class with the kids, how do I get young people in this time and age to begin to take, you know, these words as being meaningful and important in their life? Right? We live in, some people say, a post-postmodern world. I'm not even sure what that means. And I don't think our kids know either. Like, what is authoritative in their world? They lack very clear layers of authority. Andy and I have had a number of conversations about this year. What do they perceive as authoritarian? In the first Bible class I taught a few years ago, I asked them a number of questions on how they decide what's right and wrong. And the single most commonly given idea of how to decide what's right and wrong was if they get arrested or not. And I thought, you know, that is their judge of how to behave in the world. And it's not even if it's against the law or not. That wasn't the issue. Because you could do something against the law, but if you don't get arrested for it, that's still fine. right? And so how do I, in a world where kids believe that, how do I tell them they should do what's in here and have them give it any sort of credence? So as we're going through this, it's beginning to dawn that poetry, creating this experience that they have, is the only way. It's the only way. And so as this is beginning to sort of unpack through our discussions here, I came across a verse that I would like you to look up with me. It's in 2 Peter. See if we can find that. I think it's in the first chapter of 2 Peter. So Peter's talking about the Old Testament here. You can find it here. I think it's around verse 18 or 19. Okay. There we go. Verse 19. Peter says, "And so we have this prophetic word confirmed." So he's looking back at the scriptures and what has happened with Jesus. He says, we have this prophetic word confirmed. Jesus is confirming the prophetic word that was written, which you do well to heed as a light shines in a dark place. So this prophetic word is going to be a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Wow, that's a great illustration of this experience that these prophetic words can have, causing this morning star rising experience. This is describing not a head knowledge, but a heart experience. And poetry helps us get to that. Poetry helps us get to that. So we're approaching our study in Genesis chapter 1. As poetry. So if you turn there, we're on the other side. So my goal is to try to enable or provide a space for this morning star experience, this morning star rising experience for these young people, because I really believe that's the only way where they will begin to take these ancient words as being authoritative in their life, if they have some kind of positive experience with it. So we're digging into these ancient words, these ancient poems. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So I had my students take these words and look at them in a Hebrew dictionary, which was really fun. And I had them create their own translation of these words, because Hebrew is a very strange language relative to English. First of all, there's no vowels in ancient Hebrew. So you have only the consonants to go on. Which is interesting. There's no spaces between words when they would write Hebrew. There's no punctuation. There's no capitals. And to top it off, they wrote backwards. They wrote from right to left. So when you look at a Hebrew interlinear Bible, it's pretty difficult to sort out what it means. And then you add on to that the Hebrew Bible here that we have in the Old Testament only contains about 2,000 different words, 2,000 unique words. Now, in the English language, we've got 150,000 plus words, but only 2,000 in here. And so Hebrew had this strange thing where each word can mean many things. If they're going to try to explain complex ideas and they only have a limited set of words, then each word has to be. So as my students began to look at these words, they were like, wow, this could mean this and that, or it could mean the other thing. And how do we take some of those meanings and put them together into a meaningful English sentence? But some of the things they came up with were really interesting. And I want to start with, well, we could start in many places. You know, how do I kind of distill over 60 hours of conversations with these students into 20 minutes here? I don't know, so I'm going to skip over a lot of stuff that we've done and focus on some of them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, and the earth was, well, some of my students took that word was and looked at some of the different meanings and where that word is used in other places in the Old Testament to kind of come up with how to translate. So was, you know, is a past tense, something that happened in the past. But in Hebrew, it has more of a connotation of it used to be some way and now it is different. For example, in the story of Lot's wife, she became a pillar of stone. She didn't start out that way, but she became, in that same word, or was, is used there. And so some of my students, when they translated this word, they, instead of using the word was, they used the word became. And the earth became this. Puts a whole different twist on it, like, and raises the question of what was it before? It became this, or was it made that? Some interesting discussion. So the earth became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. Now, one of the things about Hebrew poetry that my kids have found out is that Hebrew poetry repeats itself. So when it says things in order, it's kind of saying the same thing, but it's either expanding on or contrasting or illustrating in some other way. So we have these words without form and void. And I've practiced this a lot. Try to say to you, those words in Hebrew are tohu vavuhu. Tohu vavuhu. And it actually includes a lot of rhyming, which we associate with poetry in English. That phrase tohu vavuhu was without form and void, as the King James has it. So as my students began to unpack this, they came up with a lot of other words that illustrate the meaning here. Confusion, wasteland, a desert, emptiness, vanity, chaos, unformed, unfilled, desolation, an undistinguishable ruin, disorder, and I add the word entropy. And these are all meanings, except for entropy, which is mine, Hebrew meanings for this word, tohu. Wow, that is so much more than just, you know, in the King James, it says, and the earth was without form. And you begin to think, it's a wasteland. You know, it's a desert. It's confusion. It's chaos. And even this word is used as vanity in other places in the Old Testament. It's not good. It is not good. So that's the tohu, and that's used a lot in the Old Testament. The vavuhu, this is the only place in the Hebrew scriptures that it's used. So its meaning is sort of uncertain because we don't have other illustrations of that. But we know with Hebrew in sort of poetry, they would use another word to expand on the previous word. So thinking about this as poetry, the earth had become something very unpleasant. I'd like you to take a look in Isaiah chapter 34, verse 11, where this word tohu is used again. So this is another piece of poetry that kind of illustrates this Hebrew poetic idea of using one phrase and then a second phrase that repeats or expands or illustrates it. But the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it. Also the owl and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out over it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. It shall call its nobles to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all of its princes shall be nothing. This line of confusion is tohu. It's the same Hebrew word is used there in Genesis chapter 1, confusion. So the earth had become confusion, wasteland, desert, and emptiness. And then they get to the next part of Genesis chapter 1 there, and the earth had become this, and darkness covered everything. Well, it's interesting, there's a number of verses in Psalms, we're not going to go through them all this morning, that talk about darkness, and darkness being the enemy of God's people, the enemy of people. So if you think about this poetically, it's not just the absence of light, it's that there are active enemies. And then when the kids looked up that word, the darkness is used in other places as misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, and wickedness. So darkness covered this. So here we have this wasteland, this ruined place of confusion. And to top it off, darkness covers that. Darkness was on the face of the waters. And this upon the face, the kids said, that always means a downward direction. It's going down. It's getting worse. So it's bad. It's ruined wasteland with confusion and ignorance and evilness, and it's getting worse upon the face of the waters. And waters in Psalm 69, the psalmist says, the waters are rising above my head. That's the first line of the refrain. My enemies are about to kill me. So the poet is associating waters with enemies here. Really interesting idea. So this earth had become evil and full of ignorance and chaos, misery, destruction, death. And these are all enemies, the poet is saying. Why am I having the kids do this? Because I want them to be able to connect these ancient Hebrew ideas and poems to their life. Right? And seeing that this world has darkness in it matches what their experience is in this world. You know, our kids come from situations that are really unimaginable to us. The idea of family, which we kind of grow up with, understanding what a family is, many of our kids don't have. Andy and I were having a conversation about one family, and the family has, one of the parents has this serious medical condition. And the child doesn't even know what it is. How does a child not know that dad has this serious medical condition? Like the communication is not existent, right? And we talked about, you know, how our kids don't have family dinner together, time of communication and fellowship. I think this ancient Hebrew poet is recognizing the condition in the world. And that condition isn't gone. Okay. And so I want my kids to try to be able to connect with that in some way. So this is the condition of the world. But the next verse, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So this God, and we took some excursions to look at other creation myths and the other gods that people have proposed. And this God is very different than the other gods. And I won't go into a lot of the details about what the kids have found about the other creation myths and how the role of people in it. Most of them are not very good or pleasant. But this God sees the enemies and he moves on. He is not going to allow the condition to continue. Okay, this God is going to move on the face of the waters. And I actually think it was Muriel who came up with, in her translation, this hovering is an act of bringing peace and relaxation. So you've got this chaotic water, these enemies of confusion and sorrow and sadness. But the Spirit of God, the breath of God is actually the word here that is used. The breath comes out. Like God is not going to allow this to continue. His breath comes out and his breath brings this relaxing of this chaotic, anxiety-filled situation. And is 2020 not an anxiety-filled situation? We have this overarching anxiety that none of us can do anything about. Right? Do we need the Spirit, the breath of God to bring relaxation? And this God is a God who's a bringer of that, unlike a lot of the other gods that we looked at. So this breath of God comes over to bring peace, and the very first thing that it does, it brings light. It brings light. God said, let there be light, and there was light in verse 3. There was light. Now verse 4 is a key verse, and God saw the light, and it was good, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night. So it was evening and morning the first day. Now, my kids pointed out something interesting here, that God does not eliminate the darkness. It's all dark when this begins. There is no light. There is no possibility of light. But God now creates light. A new possibility that didn't exist before. He doesn't remove the darkness. He just creates an area of light and an area of darkness. God sees the light and he says, that's good. The darkness he doesn't talk about, except that it's still there. It's still there. And then he says this interesting thing. He describes the day as evening and morning. Now think about that in terms of darkness and light. The day begins with darkness and it moves into light. Creation begins with darkness and moves into light. And that doesn't stop throughout this poem. This becomes a beat to the creation, where there's always this beginning of darkness. It was evening and morning day two. Was evening and morning day three. This repeats itself. And the poet is telling us in, as we understand it through this discussion, it's like darkness happens no matter what. But this God is a light bringer, right? And every day darkness is there. But this God enables light. And God saw that it was good, and this Hebrew word for good is in English, good is just an understatement. Okay, it doesn't capture the essence of this Hebrew word. In fact, you guys know this or probably heard this. You know, at Jewish weddings, what do they say when they throw the glasses and break the glasses? And what does that mean?
I think it's
Mazel tov. Yeah, that's the phrase I was remembering. Mazel tov. Well, that word for tov, T-O-V, is this word good. Okay? And we kind of loosely translate it as good luck. But in Hebrew, it's not luck at all. Okay? What they're talking about here. They're talking about this goodness that God brings. Okay? That only God can bring in a wedding. You're wishing that on the bride and groom. Mazel tov. Hebrew also began as a pictographic language. And this word tov, T-O-V, is an interesting one if you look at the shapes the letters themselves make. And the first letter, tet, is how you say it, is shaped like a basket. And it's a container to be in. And the last letter is kind of like a C. It's also a shape of a container, and it represents kind of a home or a womb. And the middle letter is shaped like a tent stake, like an anchor. And so this word for good, if you look at the pictures, are like God is creating this environment that is safe and warm and secure. It's the Hebrew idea of goodness. Goodness. Okay, God creates the light as his first creative breath, which begins to push aside the darkness. So I had my kids draw a graphic representation of day one. And one of the students drew this amazing picture. Most of the picture is black, but it has red words throughout all the blackness. These words that they came up with as meanings for tohu vavuhu and darkness. But in the center is this tiny little strip of yellow. And in it, there's a figure who is pushing sideways, pushing away the darkness as light is pushing back the darkness in it. It's really he took the idea of a graphic thing very seriously, because he has cartoon faces in the darkness. And they could be used in a horror movie somewhere. Right? But this figure in the middle is pushing that back. Okay? Like, and this is a pattern that through creation that God says, you know, darkness happens. I talked to them about entropy in their bedrooms, you know. The bedrooms kind of fall apart on their own. It doesn't take any energy to make your bedroom a mess. Okay? It takes a lot of energy to put it right. Now, light is energy. Light is energy. And so if we, God is putting out his energy to push back the darkness on our behalf. To take this environment that has darkness in it and push it back. But that's not the end of the story. There's more. Jesus sums it up much later in the story when he begins to tell people, you are the light in the world. You are the light bringers. I have established this light. I've created the light. Okay, to push back the darkness. It's a possibility now. But you are the ones that are going to bring it. Steve asked this morning, what's the role of humanity? Man, there's darkness all around us. But God has created a lot of light bringers in lots of different ways. And when I begin to ask my students, what are ways that you have seen light brought into the darkness in this metaphorical, poetic way. They really give some shocking answers. Because I don't know their darkness, right? I can't even imagine the darkness that some of them live in. And so when they say, this happened and this was a good thing, I'm like, I don't perceive that as a good thing, but they do. Okay, and And so how am I going to bring light into that situation when I can't even understand the darkness? Right? And so God has created people, each of them able to understand a little bit of their own situation, a little bit of each other's situations, and has given us the responsibility to bring light bringers, to push back that darkness and however we can, however we see it. And I think that's good news. I think that's the gospel. And I want my kids to kind of see that this God is going to bring light into their dark areas. Dark areas are real, right? Struggles with depression and anxiety like maybe we've never seen before in modern history. God is a light bringer. Can bring the calmness, the relaxation of that anxiety. I want my kids to experience it. There's another illustration in this poem, and I'm going to end with this, this rhythm of darkness followed by light. The light bringing activity comes by calling out goodness. Throughout this poem, 7 different times, the creator says, saw this and it was good. He's calling out goodness. He's calling out goodness. And I think that when we take the time to call out goodness, it brings light into the situation. It is much easier for us to call out the bad things. It's easier for us to call out the darkness. But I think this creator is saying, I want you to be callers of the good wherever you see it. You know, and some of our students, it's hard to see the good academic stuff, but we need to look for it. We need to be deep seekers of it. And when we find it, call it out, right? And that brings light. God saw the light, he calls it good. He calls it good, okay? So, Andy, if you play another song, we're gonna close our service today with our praise and prayer after the song. And I really want you to think about, sharing the good things that you've seen in the world. So take some time to call out the goodness. Now, there's also a role for calling out the darkness in those areas where we need goodness to grow, where we need light to grow. That's also a necessary function because I can't see all of the darkness. I can't see it. I can't bring any light in. And so there's a role as a community of faith to say, here's a situation that needs light, that needs goodness. And so after Andy's song, we'll take some of your responses. Where have you seen God at work? Where have you seen the light grow? And where do we need to see light grow more? Thank you, Andy. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. So if you have praises to bring, we'd love to hear them. If prayer requests, please share them.
Sophia had a birthday.
Hey, happy birthday to young Sophia. She is a delight. Talk about a light burner, that little girl.
By the way, that's a great title of a song. It doesn't already exist. This God is a light bringer. I was just, when you said that, I was like, that's a song title. Yes.
Right.
Try to work on it.
Yeah, I'll be excited to hear it when you get it done. Patricia.
I have a praise for the EMTs coming out. Mm-hmm. And also, I can remember the Vandenberg family. I got an email from Drew today, which just broke my heart.
Yeah. Marta Vandenberg passed away this week. Young lady.
32.
Daughter, mother, 32 years old, yeah. And there is darkness in this world. There is. I'm glad that Drew and Kathy have friends like you. You can listen to them, talk to them, push back a little bit of that darkness. Their praises, prayer requests. Yeah, Mike.
Praise 14 weeks of COVID-free school.
Amen.
14 weeks of COVID-free school. Yes, praise the Lord for that. Yeah, absolutely. Stephanie.
I'm speaking on behalf of Jennifer Smith. She has a praise that James 4:8 is very real. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's very real. Yes. Praise the Lord for that. He is always there waiting for us on the elevator, as Steve talked about this morning. Other praises and prayer requests. Dana. Your friend Dina is here. Welcome, Dina. Glad you're here. Kathy.
I have a praise for Angela. I'm working in the kitchen with Dina. I got to work with her and her. She's amazing. Amy wrote me a short little note saying how she's going to
Yay. Amen.
Amen to that.
Yeah, this is
Yeah. Man. You people who make lunch for us, is that light bringing to us, Andy?
Amen.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
I want to pray for my mom. She might be on the Zoom, so hi, Mom. She broke her elbow, as you know, several weeks ago. Had what appears to be a successful surgery to put it back together, and now she's doing physical therapy and so forth. But, you know, it's a tremendous handicap. Your right arm. And to protect that arm, the whole rest of the body has to readapt to living. So anyway, if we can just remember my mom, if she wants to thank you for your prayers to this point. And also for Julia, you know, she's got, it looks like she has Lyme.
Oh, really? Lyme's disease?
Yeah. And it's not something that we knew about. I mean, so she's been, you know, going through the cycle. She's had a lot of pain, you know, in her back, and her neck. You know, it's a recent thing. And anyway, so bless her that she can, oh, God will heal her. And that she can maintain, you know, she's a real dedicated student, a hardworking student. Yeah, anybody who's been doing online during COVID knows that's a tough deal. And especially she's doing three science classes this semester, organic chemistry, physics, who knows what else. All online, the labs are online. So, but she sent the email this week. And it's like, thank you, God. My prayers are answered because Walla Walla is going to open up next semester and she can be able to go back to school. We have to pray that that, you know, remains the plan. But anyway.
Wow. Wow. You know, I'm struck by that story. How God can make arrangements for things that we don't even know. You know, Julia couldn't go back to college, didn't really have a place here to study and do school, so went to your mom's. Your mom fell and broke her elbow, and Julia was there. You know, light bringing is not easy. Julia's worked really hard to help take care of your mom. Light bringing is not a picnic. you know, when you're pushing back the darkness in whatever way. And now she has potentially Lyme's disease on top of that. Pray for her. Terry.
I got a couple. One, I'm just really glad to be here today.
Yeah.
You talk about bringing the Lyme. Every afternoon, the critic comes here, just right in my work. Always had something positive every week. The second one is, you know, in worship, we're talking about power of the moment going on. And my son called me up there. He said, yeah, I just got to talk to you. Just, I'm walking on air. Okay, who is he? last year, he had a rough go at the park. And the teacher that he had, let's just say, did not share the power of the moment. It was more of adversary versus, this semester, we're talking about the teacher. In fact, he's like right top of his class now, which is the yard bar. The difference, and I know the teacher has no idea the influence that he did. Cameron's very relational, and she ended up telling him one day, just offhandedly, like, I really appreciate the effort you're putting into this class. That was it, nothing much. Well, I can do this. And so he had a test coming up with a longer basis. Great, why didn't you say that 3 months ago? I don't know, but go for it. So he did. He walked into that classroom and he just like, well, bring it on. I can't do anything you got. And I guess he watched, it's all computer, he watched it, rolling, and his walkout, he just leaned over and said, good job. That little bit right there, and you mentioned it is Beyonce, who we've had her before. She never says anything good to me. It just sent him up another level to the point now he's acing every one of his ladies' tests just because took a moment to reach out to him. And now probably the most lifted class in all of Jersey is acing.
Oh, thank you, Andy, for sharing that. What a powerful illustration of calling out some goodness. And man, it just spreads. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Rob.
I just want to thank the Lord for what you did in my life. I really have a moment.
Thank you for passing on the greetings from Kenny and also for your medical procedure, which is quite unpleasant. Glad you. Patricia.
I should mention thanks and praise for my friends here to pray for me, for my daughters particularly, who I appreciate but don't always say.
Patricia had a medical emergency. The EMTs came and flew her off the island, and Stephanie flew with her. But the doctors can't find any permanent lasting damage.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. I'm so grateful. You bow your heads with me as we pray. Lord, we just humbly this morning appreciate that you are the creator of light. You're the creator of goodness, and that you actively seek our participation in light and goodness. Today we've heard a lot of that goodness expressed here that people have seen and experienced and participated in. And we just know that your blessing on that little bit of light will cause it to grow and multiply. We also have many situations in our lives that we desire to see illuminated, to see the chaos reduced, the anxiety reduced. And we invite you into that. We invite you into us so we can do whatever it is we can do to bring light to those situations. We acknowledge you are the giver of all light. You give it abundantly and willingly to each of us to share around us. And that is just a different kind of God, that all the other gods are in it for selfish reasons, but you are God who gives away. We are grateful for that today. Be with us as we go about the rest of our day. As we see the darkness, may we call out the good and bring light, I pray in Jesus' name.
A number of times I hit the unmute button and it, for some reason it didn't. Proceed. Lord knows our praises and prayers. Jennifer texted that in the gym, they can't hear those of us who are on separate devices. Because he's using a different.
Hey, Daniel.
Yeah, that's just awesome.
Thank you, brother. Pardon?
Yes, I will. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh, that's sweet, man. Sweet. Okay. Okay. Thank you. He's the principal of the school.
The mask.
Sorry, guys, I didn't have good audio or video for you. Yeah. All right. Bye, you guys.
I'm glad Steve had a Kindle with him.
Yeah, he always takes it in case of that. In fact, one time he came back for it. So.
Coming all the way back for that would definitely lead one to bring it just in case.
Yeah. Well, he didn't come all the way back. I think he got to like the end of the driveway and went, wait a minute.
Hi, Jennifer, Anna. Yeah, I was thinking I was going to get to do a praise and prayer request, but maybe they really couldn't hear us.
They could not hear us.
No.
We learned that at the beginning of Sabbath school.
Yes, okay. I'm hoping that Jerry did get lots of letters, and we just emailed our letters for the Micah House support.
That was good. I don't know how many they got.
Okay. There's usually been a bit of a report, so I just was hoping that it was affirmative.
Seeing as it was through yesterday, maybe we'll get the report next week.
Could be.
At least through yesterday for the lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So where is she going to stay? Do you know?
No clue.
Just curious whether they're going to start a house for women too, somewhere.
There's so much more concern about COVID that, you know, I think there really may be more things shutting down.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, as far as, yeah, going in restaurants and some of the different things that had been opening up. And it would be wonderful if it wasn't escalating, but...
True. But maybe they'll have a vaccine soon that is something that will work.
That is the prayer. Yes.
Yeah. It is. So any of your daughters home?
Not right now. We may see Jessica in a couple of days. So.
Well, that'll be nice.
Yes. It would be great.
But Tyrone's with you guys?
No, when she comes back, she'll bring him. And yeah, when she has a couple of big clinic or lab days, that's when he can't just stay home. So yeah, so I'm pretty sure we'll have him next weekend and for a while.
Yay. Yeah, I thought I saw him running around there in the video for the baptisms.
Now, I had a hard time seeing that very well. So I couldn't really, yeah, I think I didn't hang in there to watch all of it because it for some reason it kept wanting it to go to YouTube, and then you have to have your Facebook accounts ready or whatever it is. And
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why that was doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe I have to send that to you directly as the owner of the account. I don't know.
Yeah, I would enjoy seeing the baptism again, but yeah, it, I was seeing part of it, but then it acted like, oh, well, you have to go to YouTube and yeah.
Okay. Well, that's just strange.
But I will say, Anna, with your pie shirt, JC has done something in that department that I guess you can't quite smell the evidence. But
ooh, apple pie?
We spell it differently.
We kind of... It's a little different application. Although, you know, there's still...
Pie-yee.
There's still circumference involved.
Yes, yes, yes. It, I have a feeling it just may fractionally disappear rather rapidly.
So is it a caramel apple pie?
Oh, no. This is the season of the apples.
And yeah, but there's such a thing as a caramel apple pie.
Oh boy, that does sound really good.
Might have to look that one up. My mother's favorite fruit is a carameled apple.
Yeah, and we were talking about getting a walk before the rain hits today. Although, you know, who knows? They make predictions.
When is it supposed to hit?
Well, I haven't really looked since this morning, but they were acting like at 3 o'clock it would start raining, and then in the next hour it might get really heavy. And, you know, this is just like, you know, sometimes you just feel like staying in your pajamas because they look fine at home.
And they feel so comfy.
Yes. I like flannel.
I need to check in with my mom and my sister. They were both out of power last night.
Yeah, on Whitby. We heard about it from our daughters after the fact, and they were so thankful for wood heat.
Good, they have power again.
Yeah.
To tell me.
But yeah, I guess at noon, the power went out in, I don't know if it was all of Whitby, but yeah.
It was at least Coopville and Oak Harbor because it was Mom and Julie.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, and Clinton. Yeah,
so that's the south end.
Yeah. So, no, I think it got everybody. So, yeah, that's pretty hard. And Heidi got to use. She had bought a camp stove, and so she used it to make hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good way to try to stay warm.
Yeah.
Huh.
Inside and out. You drink the hotness on the inside and you warm up by it while it's heating up on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't had hot chocolate for ages. Ages and ages.
Even though it doesn't taste the same, it takes a lot more work, but I love my mom's recipe for the hot carob drink.
Oh, yeah. Jessica loves to make that.
It's not the same flavor, but I like the flavor better, actually.
I wonder if I could get away with that with Steve.
It is harder to get because, well, I have to do all the work. It's not anything pre-mixed somewhere.
Yeah, Steve would think carob is like a evil counterfeit.
I think anybody does that thinks of it as the chocolate substitute. You have to think of it in its own right.
Well, I think Steve would think of it as its own right, and its place would be in file 13.
Lots of names belong there in his book.
Oh.
Yeah.
It has a whole appendix there of file 13 items.
Yeah. Black licorice is one of them. Any kind of licorice, actually. Yeah, did I tell you? I think I told you. I'm going to stop recording. How's that?